శ్రీ గురవే నమః శ్రీ చైతన్య మనోభీష్టం స్థాపితం జైన భూతలే స్వయం రూప కదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం వందేహం శ్రీ గురోః శ్రీయుతా పదకమలం శ్రీ గురూన్ వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజన సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణ పాదాన్ సహగణ లలితా శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ నమో విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రష్టాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే నమస్తే సారస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణే నమో మహావదన్యాయ కృష్ణ ప్రేమ ప్రదాయతే కృష్ణాయ కృష్ణ చైతన్య నామ్నే గౌరత్విషే నమః హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే బృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే నష్టప్రాయేష్ భద్రేషు నిత్యం భాగవత సేవయా భగవత్యుత్తమ శ్లోకే భక్తిర్భవతి నైష్ఠికీ కృష్ణాయ వాసుదేవాయ దేవకీ నందనాయ చ నందగోపకుమారాయ గోవిందాయ నమో నమః. వి ఆర్ రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ ద శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం 11 క్యాంటో 22nd చాప్టర్ టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 14 పురుష ప్రకృతిర్యక్తం అహంకారో నభోనిలః జ్యోతిరాపక్షితిరితి తత్వాన్యుక్తాని మేనవ పురుష ప్రకృతిర్యక్తం అహంకారో నభో నిలః జ్యోతిరాపక్షితిరితి తత్వాన్యుక్తాని మేనవ పురుష ప్రకృతిర్యక్తం అహంకారో నభో నిలః జ్యోతిరాపక్షితిరితి తత్వాన్యుక్తాని మేనవ పురుష ప్రకృతిర్యక్తం అహంకార నభో నిలః ప్రకృతిర్యక్తం అహంకారో నభో నిలః జ్యోతిరాపక్షితిరితి తత్వాన్యుక్తాని మే మతజీస్ పురుష ప్రకృతిర్యక్తం అహంకారో నభో నిలః చరితే తత్వాన్ యుక్తాని మేనవ పురుష ప్రకృతిర్వ్యక్తం అహంకారో నభో నిలః జ్యోతిరాపోతి. పురుష ద ఎంజాయర్, ప్రకృతి నేచర్, వ్యక్తం ద ప్రైమేవల్ మేనిఫెస్టేషన్ ఆఫ్ మ్యాటర్, అహంకార ఫాల్స్ ఈగో, నభ ఈథర్, అనిల ఎయిర్, జ్యోతి ఫైర్, ఆప వాటర్, క్షితి ఎర్త్. ఇతి దస్ తత్వాని ద ఎలిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ క్రియేషన్, ఉక్తాని హ్యావ్ బీన్ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ మే బై మీ, నవ నైన్. ట్రాన్స్లేషన్ అండ్ పర్పోర్ట్ బై హిస్ డివైన్ గ్రేస్ ఎస్సీ భక్తివేదాంత స్వామి ప్రభుపాద్ కి. ఐ హ్యావ్ డిస్క్రైబ్డ్ ద నైన్ బేసిక్ ఎలిమెంట్స్ యాజ్ ద ఎంజాయింగ్ సోల్. పురుష ఇస్ కాల్డ్ ఎంజాయింగ్ సోల్ because the soul is also prakriti, but when soul tries to enjoy is called imitation purusha, so is called enjoying soul. Nature, nature's primeval manifestation of the mahat tattva, false ego, ether, air, fire, water and earth. Purport: prakriti or nature is originally unmanifest and her and later becomes manifest as mahat tattva. Although the living entity is Purusha, an enjoyer, the real process by which he can enjoy is by satisfying the transcendental senses of the Lord. Just as the hand eats by supplying food to the stomach, within material nature, the living entity becomes a false enjoyer, forgetting his subservience to the Lord. The material elements, as well as the living entity, and the super soul are thus systematically analyzed to demonstrate to the conditioned soul his actual constitutional position beyond material nature. First of all, I seek the blessings of all the Vaishnavas to say a few words on this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam from the Uddhava Gita, 11th canto, where Lord Krishna is describing knowledge very much more elaborately than the way he described it to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. So here all the different types of Sankhya, some people say the Sankhya gives 26 counts or 25 counts or 9 counts or 6 counts, like the different counts are being talked in this chapter. And Lord Krishna is now giving a conclusion here. He is talking about all the different elements here. But in the purport, Prabhupada brings out a very important point here, which he says here, that our soul's constitutional position is beyond matter and super soul's constitutional position is beyond soul. Those two things he is highlighting. And also he is using the word false enjoyer. False enjoyer. Prabhupada coined this beautiful word, false enjoyer. In many of the purports you will read this word. Who is a false enjoyer? One who is fooling himself and fooling others in this world as a so-called enjoyer. In this world, as Bhaktisiddhanta Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, vanchita vanchata sampradaya. He said, this world is a world of cheaters and the cheated. He said, so, one of the specialities of Srila Prabhupada's purports is that he has enlightened the whole world in simple English language about what is our true position, true nature, what should we aspire, what we should not aspire. So, I was hearing from His Holiness Bhakti Prem Maharaj, he was telling, in this world, everybody is thinking, I am great in my own position. He was telling, one man was telling, in this entire street, My office building is the tallest building. Okay, you have a tallest of the building, but how is that connected to your greatness? But people think, because I work in that office, my building is the tallest building. And after 2 days, he was fired from the job. His connection with the office is finished, isn't it? Or a station master is taking a green flag and he is waving it, and then he is seeing the train move and he is thinking, this big train moves by my move. My moving the flag as if it is in his control. So the jiva becomes the artificial controller, imagined controller, or a false controller. Why is he called as a false controller? Because his control appears to be there, but the control is not truly in his hands. That is the amazing creation that we see around us. He can give us a feeling that I am actually in controller, I am the doer. Therefore, he is called as a false enjoyer, the jiva. One time, a university topper became a devotee. So, one boy brought him to me and said, Prabhu, you know, my humble self gave him the one-time program in the college where this great soul was present. And he was deeply touched by my one-time program, and then he immediately started devotion service. So, I thought I can just share this with you, Prabhu, humbly. Somehow Krishna used me as an instrument, he said. After some time, another devotee came and said, Prabhu, my humble self gave the 6-session program for this boy. And he came for every session of mine and he loved the session so much. He asked me so many questions. And then he became a fixed up devotee. Somehow Krishna used me to make this boy a fixed up devotee, he was telling. Then somebody else came and said, Prabhu, actually in Pune we have 3 camps, Sankalp, Spurti and Utkarsh, we call it. Somebody said, Prabhu, I was the one who gave him one lecture on Sankalp camp. He was clean bold after hearing me. You know, he decided to become a devotee. So in this way, almost 6 people were claiming preparatorship of that boy. Because he was a topper, university topper. And all of them said it is they who made him a devotee. Then I thought, better ask the boy only. Whom is he most inspired by? So I called the boy and asked him, Prabhu, I want to know what inspired you to become such a serious devotee. He said, Prabhu, it's all Prabhupada books, Prabhu. Then I thought I should have recorded it. I wanted to show this to the boy, 6 people, that my dear friends, in this world there is a principle of connectedness. Connectedness means what? Like for example, one of us is preaching to somebody. He is not inspired because I am preaching. He also knows I am connected to ISKCON. I have a tag that I am a part of ISKCON. I have connection to Paramahansa Radhanath Maharaj. He knows. I have connection to Chopati, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. They know. And I have a wonderful friend like Gauranga Prabhu. Isn't it? So like this you will see, I have connection to so many people, so many devotees. Along with that, I have Prabhupada's books with me. And I have all the rules and regulations and principles handed over by Rupa Goswami. The whole parampara is behind me when I go to preach. So we all should do our lot and take off and understand that I have done my minuscule lot. And then somebody else may do a bigger lot. Just like in a, you all know, basketball game, you know. I take the ball and throw it to you. And you throw it to him. You throw it to him. That's what I told this, all the preachers, I told them. See, the one-time program, those who are doing it, they are taking one ball and he's throwing to a 6-session wala. Six-session wala is throwing to Sankalp. He's throwing to Spurti. So we all are moving the ball from one to another. Finally, there is a tall person standing with a Srila Prabhupada. He puts in the basket. Correct, no? He liberates the soul. He sends them back to Goloka. So, one should always think that I am one of the members of the preaching team. I am not the sole preacher. I am not the proprietor. I am not the controller. By thinking like this, not only our ahankar will be finished, by thinking like this. There is a big advantage in this. You know what? If some devotee is connected to me, he goes to some other temple. I tell him, go to the local temple, Prabhu, and do some service there. Get connected to the devotees. Wherever you may be Krishna conscious. That's all I want. That is right consciousness. To say that, I brought you to Krishna consciousness, how you can connect with somebody else? If somebody asks like that, then he thinks that I am the doer. So this I am the doer consciousness comes because one is a false enjoyer. Isn't it? When one becomes a false enjoyer, then one suffers because of that. Actually, not only he suffers, both people suffer. Because this person who is a false enjoyer, he thinks, I brought him to Krishna consciousness and he should not associate with anybody else other than me. And same way, the boy is unable to associate with anyone else and advance more if he wishes to. Then because of this kind of loop, it's like a snake trying to eat a big frog, and the frog is half inside, half outside. And the snake is not able to eat. Oh, he's struggling. And the frog is telling, either eat me or leave me. Similarly, sometimes we are not able to deliver somebody. Because we are not so advanced. It's better that you hand over to somebody else who can deliver them. So because we are attached to somebody, due to our doership mentality, then we suffer, and who suffers? They also suffer. So, you will see, I am telling from the example of our own devotees. I mean, devotees, because in devotee circle, one of the things that we want to do is to give up the doership mentality and not be the false enjoyer. So, this kind of idea of false enjoyer, where does it come from? Because the soul cannot see clearly. That is its problem. As soon as the vision becomes clear, the spiritual vision is awakened, immediately the living entity will become very polite, respectful, submissive, and surrender to the Lord. Like a rat, for example, is seeing a rat trap having a coconut or something, correct? No? It goes straight inside and thinks for himself, which fool has put coconut here? I think nobody is around. They left coconut and went away. And he considers himself smart. When he pulls the coconut, you know what happens. The rat trap closes. When he is trapped, he understands, I am a fool. Nobody else is fool. I am the fool, he understands. Because he couldn't see. The man who has put the trap is right around somewhere. And then the rat was caught. Similarly, when does the vision come, like the Shastras talk about Tattva Darshinaha. The word, there are many Manishinaha, Tattva Darshinaha. One who can see, even in this world it is observable. Imagine you are walking in the road, somebody has a hathgadi, hand cart with some, you know, fruits, they are selling some fruits. You know, do you just pick up a fruit and go? Will you do that? As long as there is an owner of the hand cart, you will not touch it. Or you may touch it to purchase it. Whereas if you are in the forest, you see a mango tree, you may pluck a mango. Because there is no one around. Correct? No? So as soon as the jiva is able to see the Swami, then he gives up his proprietorship mentality. In the forest there is no Swami visible to you, so you pluck the flower, pluck the fruit. Whereas in a hand cart, the Swami of the hand cart is standing right there. Because he is the owner of the hand cart, so you will not touch it. That means as soon as you can see visibly, the Lord being the proprietor of everyone and everything, then our enjoying mentality will be finished. But when you cannot see Lord as the supreme enjoyer, then our behavior will be a false enjoyer. It is not very difficult to understand. Say for example, I am sitting on a stage. Say, if somebody is an MLA, somebody is an MP, or CM, then there is PM, all are sitting on the stage. Because say, you are an MLA, your local, one of the man comes with a garland to put you. What will you do? Will you accept the garland? If you are an MLA? You will immediately say, hey, Prime Minister is sitting. You know, you should put him first. And then you can put for, you know, Chief Minister and other people. Then lastly you can bring for me. Correct? No? Because you recognize that the PM is sitting. But if you don't recognize, then we may very happily accept it. Correct? No? Because we may be the false enjoyer. Correct? No? So most people in this world, they are blind to the presence of Krishna as the supreme proprietor of the entire world. They are unable to see it with their eyes. Or probably they don't want to see it. They are not interested in seeing it. The moment they see it, they will, instead of enjoying and exploiting, they will be surrendering and serving. That will become very, very natural for them. So, there are people who may scold a subordinate, but when there is a superior there, they will be very respectful to superior. Why? Because you know what is their position. Naturally, you have respect. When someone is a subordinate, we have a tendency to exploit. Or lord over. That's the word Prabhupada uses. Lord over or boss over. Yeah. So, whenever we think of someone or something to be inferior to us and ourselves to be superior, we have a tendency to boss over or lord over. Like for example, a man marries a woman. So, he tends to think that now I am her swami. I am the boss. This house is my kingdom. My children are my praja. And the compound wall is making, Sima of the kingdom, isn't it? And my wife is my queen. So then he may think I can lord over the children, lord over the wife, lord over the servants within this range, correct? No? So as soon as we think ourselves superior, the false enjoyership mentality creeps in subsequently. It's something which one can experience immediately. Now what is the problem in being a false enjoyer? It's a very painful situation to be a false enjoyer. You see, if somebody has to run, while running, imagine you have tied a rope to his leg and a stone also. He has to run with the stone. Every time the stone will hit his leg and it will bleed for him. It will be difficult. So the hitting of the stone causes bruises in his leg and wounds in his leg. Number one, it slows down his speed. Number two, it is hurting him and it is causing him pain. This is the way our soul is connected to matter, shunted by false ego. In train they do the shunting, no? Shunting means connecting between two bogies. Similarly, how is the soul connected to matter? Through the agency of false ego. So the false ego connects, and the false ego is like the rope which connects us to that stone. The stone is like matter. So when a man is connected to the stone with a rope, his speed is reduced and it is painful lifestyle. Similarly, if I am taking the role of a false enjoyer, my progress in Krishna consciousness is also checked. I can't progress very fast. And besides that, I will also feel pain in every interaction with different living entities, with the things as well as with people also. I have seen in the train one fellow was sending a mobile message, maybe WhatsApp message or SMS message he was sending. But the message was not going because range was not there. Somebody told him, see, Lonavala is coming, all the tunnels are there. Let tunnels get over, then you can send the SMS. He said, no, I have to urgently send. It has to reach. So again and again he was pressing the mobile, it was not going. He put the mobile down and crushed with his boots. And people said, hey, this is a 20,000 rupees mobile. The crushing is under your boots. Of course, after the Donavala was over, then people told, now you can SMS. But he tried to SMS, mobile was completely off, finished. Now it was dead now. He couldn't do anything. So you can see, when we are in a controller mode, we can be angry with things also and people also. We can get very upset also when we are unable to lord over. We try to lord over, but we are not God, ultimately. We have no power to do everything the way we want. Everything cannot happen according to my whims and fancies. Everything cannot move according to our will. Is the sun moving according to our will? Is the moon rising in the evening according to our will? Are the seasons changing according to our will? Are the rain showering, flowers blooming, trees producing fruits, rivers producing water, ocean producing Navaratnas? We are not doing all this. It's all done by the Lord, one who is supreme, the Supreme Lord Krishna. He is actually watching from the top. And he is a supreme Isha, controller, Ishavasyam. And we are very minute and tiny controller. We have some little control. But we are not the supreme. We have very little control. By recognizing that I am a very tiny controller, I may have some control, but Lord is the supreme controller, we can be very peaceful. By recognizing this fact, we can be... otherwise the ahankar makes us, it hurts us. I told you about dealing with the mobile, but we can also say dealing with the people. Every human interaction you have, this ahankar will come and create problem. It will create problem. Because we can't be submissive when I think I am the supreme controller. Correct? No? We can't be humble. We can't be tolerant. We can't be patient. We can't be compassionate. We can't be courteous, cooperative, friendly, understandable, flexible, adaptable, isn't it? It's not possible. So when these qualities miss in human interactions, whether it be one's husband or wife or children or colleagues in the office, wherever you go, see, one big plus point in adopting the right consciousness, you can go to any part of the world. You go to America, you go to London, you go to Australia, go to Canada, you be in India. If we have an ego-friendly relationship, you can deal with anybody. Correct? No? And for being ego-friendly, the most ultimate weapon is surrender to the Lord. Those who are surrendered to Krishna, understanding their constitutional position as I am insignificant. Therefore, in the same chapter, see in the 10th verse, Lord Krishna tells this. While speaking to Uddhava, I saw this. He says, because a person who has been covered by ignorance since time immemorial is not capable of effecting his own self-realization, there must be some other personality who is in factual knowledge of the absolute truth and can impart this knowledge to him, he is saying. So from this one thing becomes clear. There is a person who is inferior, there is another person superior. The inferior person is ignorant and the superior person is enlightened. The inferior person is a seeker. The superior person is a seer. So the seer has to enlighten the seeker, like Krishna is enlightening Arjuna. Sukadeva Goswami is enlightening Parikshit. So God's difference from the soul is explained in the 10th verse. How God is, because some jnanis are impersonalists, count the Atma and Paramatma as same while counting the Sankhya elements. Out of, they say instead of 26, they say only 25. Why? They say Atma so Paramatma, they say. Soul and super soul are same. No, that is denied by Lord Krishna himself in the 10th verse. He says, if soul and super soul are same, why soul becomes foolish in this world? Why the Prakriti becomes a Purusha or an enjoying soul, as he explains here. So we, Prabhupada says sometimes a woman wears a pant and a shirt and he drives on a back of a horse. So Prabhupada says, a soldier also may sit on the back of a horse and come. But ultimately, even in that pant and shirt, woman is a woman only, Prabhupada says. Similarly, the living entity in this world also may accept the role of Purusha. But who is he? He is Prakriti only. Ultimately, he is Prakriti only. He is not Purusha. He is not enjoyer. Even if you want to call him enjoyer, you have to call him false enjoyer. Or you have to call him imitation enjoyer. Or you can say enjoying soul. These words are used. He is not independent. He is dependent on the Lord. So, now how do we open our eyes, spiritual eyes, to see this reality that we are suffering in this world? Prabhupada saw one man in Calcutta. He was admitted in a hospital with a lot of tubes inside the nose and ears and body, different parts of the body hanging. He had got fracture and everything. Old man. And he was, having mucus going and coming out. His friends, very elderly senior citizen people, came to meet him. So they asked him, "Hey, last 3 months you are in hospital. How are you?" "Oh, I am very fine," he said. So Prabhupada said, "What fine? You are passing stool and urine in the bed. Your body is filled with so many tubes and apparatuses and everything, and they are giving you in saline. And you are counting your last days. When will you leave the body? God knows. and you are saying you are fine. What kind of fine is this? So we can see in this world, we may be thinking we are fine, but the material nature is so created in such a way that the living entity suffers in general, but he suffers more with ahankar. He suffers even more as a false enjoyer. Even otherwise, therefore the very first thing that we need to learn when we go to the scriptures is, I am not the body, I am spirit soul. This is very important. You may wonder why Srila Prabhupada spoke on, you know, Dehino Asminita Dehe verse so many times. Because he repeatedly wanted to emphasize on this point, that if you don't know this one fact, we may be living in an imaginary world. Nowadays we are living in the modern world where so many even spiritual organizations have sprouted up, and they all are giving many people some information on how to come out of depression, how not to be angry, you know, how to have a healthy body, how to have happy relationships. There are a lot of organizations talking a lot, writing a lot of books, speaking a lot. But you will see that as long as the person does not know this fact, that I am not the body, I am the spirit soul. Without knowing this one fundamental reality, all those kinds of knowledge will be all wishy-washy too. It's not going to help us. For example, say a man may appreciate the beautiful silken hair, say of his wife. She has put a shampoo very nicely and very silky hair. But if the same one hair comes in the food, can he appreciate? Immediately he'll want to throw it away, the whole plate. Is it not true? Similarly, ladies, they put all the nail polish, they sometimes keep long nails with different kinds of shining nail polishes, isn't it? So if somebody is showing their finger, one goes mad, hey, look at this tender fingers with very nice nail polish. But one nail she cuts and it flies off. You know, if you catch in your hand, will it be of any value to you? Once the nail comes off from the finger, it goes straight into dustbin. After that, it loses its value which was there earlier. Is it not true? So this is a very interesting question. What makes the hair so valuable when it is on her head? Or what makes the nail so valuable when it is connected to her body? Or what makes it so abominable when it is cut off from her hand or from the head? What makes it so abominable? The answer is soul. As long as there is soul in the body, then the body has some value. I was hearing Prabhupada a couple of days ago. See, Prabhupada is always very graphic in whatever he speaks. He says, somebody may be a great leader or a president or somebody, and as long as he is in post, nobody can meet him. People have to queue up, or you have to take a prayer appointment 6 months before, and he is always surrounded by big fellows. And when he goes, there are 20 cars which go with him. He's a very important man, nobody can meet him. But when he dies, you can even kick on his face, he will not move. He says, because body has no value. Yavat pavano nivasati dehe tavat prachati kushalam gehe gatavati vayo deha paye bharyam bibhyati tasmin kaye bhaja govindam govindam bhaja. Mudhamate. See what he is saying. This is called as Maya Mudgara Stotram. This is called making Maya into powder. If you want to completely make Maya chur and defeat Maya, these stotrams are very enlightening for that purpose. Each verse enlightens about one thing. This verse explains about, he says, Yavat Pavano Nivasit Dehe. As long as there is soul in this body, people will come and ask you, how do you do? And you will say, I am fine. Now you'll be saying, isn't it? That will be going on. But the moment the soul leaves the body, the next moment the body is rendered as preta. Actually, preta word we use, that's meant for the subtle body, actually. So the body is completely lifeless. And people around will not entertain that body for a long time. Even in homes, they put ice and other things and keep it. And the body starts stinking. All the metabolism stops. There is no blood circulation in the body. And you want to dispose it as quickly as possible and take it to the graveyard and burn it to ashes. Is it not? The very same relatives who loved the body very much will burn the body now. The very same body. So, and that is the destination of everybody's body in this world. We should not forget it, including our bodies also. That will be the destination. So 10.10.10 Bhagavatam says, Deva Sangeetam Apyante Krimi Vit Bhasma Sangeetam. It says, even if it is a demigod's body, the destination of the body is that it will be becoming Krimi Vit Bhasma, it says. So one should not attach too much importance to one's material body alone. But unfortunately we may say that. But the whole world is thinking only about the body. How many types of shoes they have? They are shoe conscious, belt conscious, watch conscious, jeans conscious, t-shirt conscious, mustache conscious, French beard conscious, except Krishna conscious. Isn't it? How many types of consciousness are there in this world? So, therefore, the first consciousness we want to have is that I am not the body, I am the spirit soul. And this body is actually a covering over the soul. There is a gross and subtle covering. And I am different from the body. Therefore, in the Sankhya, these things are explained that the body is a perishable phenomenon. Don't get allured by it. Don't get carried away by it. Don't try to pamper it. Think about the soul. Whose part and parcel is the soul? The soul is part and parcel of Krishna. So think about it. So this is the beginning knowledge. Therefore, whether it is Upanishads or Puranas or Vedas, everywhere you will find. Like one boy studied in a Gurukula and came. His father asked him, what did you learn? The boy said, Father, Guruji taught about the soul, but the boy was not able to explain so well. Then the Guru told him, bring a pinch of salt. So he put in water. And then he mixed it. Now he showed the water. Do you see anything? The boy said, I don't see anything. And he gave him a spoon of water. Drink it. So he drank it. And father asked, what do you experience? He said, oh, this is very saltish. So then the father said, yes, that which you cannot see with your eyes, that is salt which is mixed in it. You can't see with eyes, but when you taste it, you can know. Similarly, the father said, when the soul is present in the body, there is ability to be conscious. If somebody pinches you, you will say, somebody is pinching you. If it is cold, you will wear a sweater. If it is hot, you will want a fan. Isn't it? Similarly, you see a beautiful flower, you will say, it's beautiful. A computer cannot say it is beautiful. Of course, you can program a computer to say it is beautiful. But it is not able to experience the beauty of the flower. Isn't it? It's not able to appreciate a Carnatic music or Hindustani music. Computer cannot put tala. Very nice. Very, very beautiful music. Computer cannot do that. Because there is no consciousness. So therefore, what makes a human or living body different from any machine is this. So therefore, in the Gita, Lord Krishna begins with that. The moment you know you are not the body, you are the spirit soul, you know, so many problems are solved. One time, Isolna Jayadutta Maharaj was telling, two ladies had come for his program who are very, they had obesity problem, they had very big body. After the lecture, they came to Maharaj personally to thank him. Thank you, Maharaj, for the lecture today. Maharaj asked them, what did you like the most in my lecture? They said, the one point which hit us very hard was, we are not the body, we are spirit soul. After hearing that knowledge, we are very relieved that this big body will not come with us. We are thin, very beautiful spirit soul. We'll get rid of this and go away. Because the problem is, we are unable to control eating. At the same time, we are not able to thin ourselves. But once we leave the body, we will get another replacement. This is not the ultimate. So, by knowing this fact, many of the worldly problems can be solved. Even in this world, you give up the racism, caste, creed, color, nationality, gender. One can rise above all this and know that the spirit soul is pure and aloof from matter. At the same time, the spirit soul, although he is aloof from it appears to be great. Aloof from this body, he is Satchidananda, he can move from one place to another and accept bodies. He is not an independent enjoyer. He cannot be independent enjoyer. He is not the master. You all have seen small kids maybe, you know, 8 years, 10-year-old boys, they call them as master, correct? Master Srinivas. Correct? You have seen that? In India, they call us Master Srinivas. But is he the ultimate master in his house? Huh? His master, his ultimate master is the father. Father is there at home. But he is also called as master. But when one becomes to father's level, he is called mister after that. Huh? Master becomes mister. I think it's controlled by miss, I think, somebody. Huh? It's called mister. Huh? So, but the master is used, I have seen in India, some mandolin Srinivas. They say Master Srinivas, correct? No? They say. But that master is small young master, isn't it? He's not the supreme master. He's a young boy. Is he independent of his parents? No. The parents are, parents are actually, the father is the one who brings, you know, grocery to home. Huh? Father is the one who, you know, takes care of the children. Huh? Father and mother, they are taking care. Huh? They are grown up. Similarly, the jiva is called as a purusha here, because he's a tiny master. Huh? Even in Bhagavad Gita, there is one verse which says, Shariram yadavapnoti yachapyutkramati ishwaraha grihit paitani samjati vayuhu gandhani vashayat. See, in this verse he says, Shariram yadavapnoti yachapyutkramati ishwaraha. Ishwara word is used for the soul. Why soul is called Ishwar? Because he can choose his next body. We have the ability to choose our next body. One very interesting learning happened when we all came across the Prabhupada speaks out recently. There Prabhupada says, Prabhupada was asking one of his disciples, what do you think is our material body? And the disciple said, Prabhupada, it is like a machine, he said. Prabhupada said, material body is not like a machine, it is a machine, he said. It is yantrarudani mayaya, he said. And then disciple agreed, yes Prabhupada, body is a machine, he said. And then Prabhupada asked a question, does the machine grow? He asked. Like here is a fan, does the fan grow year after year? It becomes bigger and bigger fan, enveloping the whole temple hall. Huh? It doesn't become like that. Machine doesn't grow. But your body grows. How? Every one of us, we had a small baby body. Now we have, eventually you have youthful body. Then you have old body. How the body is changing? Does the machine change? Does the machine grow? One change that happens in machine is it disintegrates and eventually depreciates. But doesn't grow. How is the body growing? So disciple couldn't answer. And then Prabhupada said, you see, it is Maya Devi who gives you one body at every instant. She is giving you a series of machines. Body one after another. When you want to play with a balloon or a small wooden horse, then she gives you a baby body. And when you want to do romance, she gives you a teenage body. When you want to marry and beget children, she gives you a body of a man or a woman. In this way, she takes away the previous body and gives you one new body like this. At every moment, she is changing the body. And then Prabhupada brought that most important information. He said, the bodies are awarded to you based on the desire in your subtle body. For example, all of you sitting here, you expressed your desire in your heart that you want to be a devotee. You know, therefore, the material nature has awarded you a body which is fit for being a devotee. You can come to the temple, you can bow down, you can wear tilak, you can read Bhagavad Gita. Then the body will contain the intelligence, mindset, disposition, type of food, type of dress, everything you will do according to devotee type, because that's what he wanted, she has awarded you that body. Just like a tailor, you tell it, like once when I was a school boy, I told a tailor to make a bell bottom pant. So when my father saw me giving order to him, he said, what is this? This is like what women wear, this lanka, what do you call that? Lenga they call it, lenga. It's so your feet is only this long and you are making double size. I said, no, this is the latest fashion now. But then by the time my pant came from the tailor, in 4 months the fashion was gone. People started wearing a smaller pant, not with so much bell bottom. But the tailor said, you ordered for it, so you cannot escape it. You have to take it now. Similarly, we are ordering to material nature, Maya Devi. Can you please give me this body? Can you give that body? We are asking for different bodies. Like Prabhupada saw in Hawaii, some boys were surfing in the ocean in the early morning. Hawaii, in India, when you say Hawaii, people know Hawaii chapel. That's the one famous one. But Hawaii has many other nice things also. Like Prabhupada saw the bluish waters of Hawaii ocean. He saw the gardens that are blooming with flowers. The roads were very neat and clean. And Prabhupada said, generally this world is called Dukkalayam Ashashvatam. But if there is some Sukalayam in the world, and that is Hawaii, Prabhupada said. It's a very beautiful place. But the problem was what? You know, dozen devotees will go for Harinam and only 10 will come back. 2 will be missing. They may get lost sometimes. So Prabhupada went and stayed there for many days giving lectures. So he saw some boys doing surfing. And he asked the devotees, what are they doing? You know, and the devotees said, Prabhupada, they are playing in the water, surfing. You have seen people going with a boat behind surfing. So Prabhupada said, what is it? Are they suffering? He asked them. No, no, Prabhupada, they are surfing. So then Prabhupada came back and said in the Bhagavatam class, today morning we saw some boys suffering in the water. He said, and some devotee sitting in the front said, Prabhupada, that is called surfing. He said, Prabhupada said, I know very well. You call it surfing, I call it suffering, he said. Why they are suffering, he said. Because they are playing in the water for 4, 4, 8, 8 hours. They are preparing a body to become an aquatic. Because who lives in water continuously? Only an aquatic. Because already they are telling the nature, see, I am spending 8 hours, I want to spend 16 more hours in the water. Why didn't you give me a body? So in this way, Prabhupada was telling that we are placing an order to the material nature. Please give me the next body. Not only in the next life, even right now, you will see that as per our desire, the material nature is awarding us bodies in this life also. At every moment she is awarding. Whatever desire is there in our mind, accordingly she will give. Like I have seen some people during my college days, I saw Gauranga Prabhu, you know, myself, Gauranga Prabhu used to attend the programs. Gradually I saw Gauranga Prabhu used to very attentively listen to the classes of His Holiness Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj. Very attentive. So gradually I saw the changes coming in him, and then he came to Pune, he was in Kirloskar Oil Engines, he came to Bombay, and eventually he joined. And over a period of time, in Tamil we call it Jnanaparam, we call it. Jnanaparam means what? He has become like a ripe mango now. He has got a good blend of both the hand in administration as well as philosophy. He has become such a ripe spiritual fruit. He has become like a ripe spiritual fruit. So I have been watching him from his college days up to now, how he matured up, because that was his desire. I want to study the Shastra. I want to speak on the glories of Bhagavatam. I want to speak Krishna consciousness to people. So he got subsequently all these bodies which are actually enhancing his desire to make him his spiritual goals become fulfilled. In the same manner, you can also see if somebody has had another desire, then he will get a body accordingly. One will get a body. The same class in which we were studying, there were boys who came for the class, maybe few times they came and they went away after that. They didn't come because their ambitions were different. So they had a desire that, you know, we want to think like an American and be like an American, eat like an American, live like an American. So now 10 years later you find, 10 years ago when I had gone to West, I saw some of those boys there. I met some of those boys. So as per their desire, you know, their lifestyle, their dress, their thought process, everything has been like that. So we all actually are carving our next body. For example, when a boy wants to marry and beget a child, the body is awarded to him where it can produce semen. Similarly, a girl wants to get married and beget a child. The material nature awards the body in which she has puberty, by which she can beget children. So we are awarded body as per our desire. That's the most important thing to know. So here comes a very, very important point. The swabhava that we say is a very deep-rooted thing, we know, which is psychophysical nature. The psychophysical nature impels us to do certain things which we should not do. Because the swabhava has two aspects. There is a pure aspect, there is an impure aspect. If you see, even Kshatriya has passion, but his passion has a very useful purpose also. like, you know, shauryam, tejo, dhritiridakshyam, yuddhe chapi palayanam, like the danam, all those things Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita. He has prowess in the battle, he never runs away from the battle, he has leadership quality. Those are good qualities of a kshatriya. Passion can be rightly engaged also. But a kshatriya can have a bad side of his swabhava also. What is it? Vidyam, vivadaya, dhanam, madaya, shakti paresham, paripidanaya. So this verse says, a brahmana's swabhava, the bad side of his swabhava is what? Vidyam vivadaya. He can get into vad vivad. See, there are two words used in Sanskrit, vitanda and vad. Vad is a good word and vitanda is bad. Why? Vad means you argue with somebody, but in case their arguments are reasonable, you accept it. Vitanda means while entering into argument, you have made up your mind whether I am right or wrong, I have to prove it. Yamana will speak lies also to prove it. That is called vitanda. A brahmana can do that. He can argue anything that he wants to promote. So that is very bad swabhava of a brahmana. So he should give up. Similarly, a kshatriya, he can use his shakti to do balatkar to a woman. Which means he can seduce a woman or exploit a woman, which is not acceptable. Or he may subdue the innocent. He may torture the innocent, just like what Kaliraj was doing with the cow and bull. So one, a kshatriya should never drink liquor and smoke and enjoy wine and women and become exploitative, just like Sugriva had become like that for the 4 months of Chaturmas period. When Lord Rama was waiting for the rains to get over, Sugriva had become carried away by Bhogavilas, by sense gratification. Kshatriya should not do that. In fact, Kshatriya should be surrendered to Guru. And you should use all the wealth for the benefit of Praja and for the service of the Supreme Lord. That's ideal, isn't it? Similarly, a Vaishya can keep exorbitant profits. He may buy a commodity in 1,000 and he may sell it in 1 lakh rupees. Some people do that. One can do that. Like I had gone to this, I think it was Surat, I think. So when we were going in Surat, in the road, one of the devotees was showing me one place, one marketplace where people were all in bike. And they had a bike and they were sitting in bike. They looked like very simple men. But this is what he showed and said, although these guys are looking very simple, inside their pockets they have diamonds worth crores of rupees. But this is the place where they congregate to sell the diamonds. Sometimes they make very big money, very huge money, he said. So you will see a businessman can become very exploitative, especially when there is a crisis. Correct, no? When he knows, then he can have monopoly. One shouldn't do that. That is a bad side of a businessman, I mean Vaishya. Like sometimes you see a shopping mall starts, a very big shopping mall. Huge, from one end of the lane to the other end of the lane. You have seen shopping malls like that, very huge. And then they are selling you from potato to gold everything. And you will be surprised. You know, if potato is 40 kilos outside, they will give you in 10 rupees kilo. You think they are very merciful and compassionate? They are giving potato at such a cheap price. They have an agenda. The agenda is, they want to close down all the small shops in the neighborhood by keeping a throwaway price here. And after they sell it like this for 2-3 months, all the neighborhood shops will close down. They'll be bondi because nobody will go to them. Everybody comes to shopping mall. When all those shops are closed, they will tell you, now potato is 100 rupees per kilo. Then they will exploit the public. Just like in those days in India, they introduced the TV saying that we will show Ramanand Sagar's movie. Ramayana. Then all Indians were very innocent. They purchased TV. And after Ramayana got over, what all came, everybody knows. After that. Anyway, a businessman can exploit like that. Isn't it? So similarly, a Shudra should not speak lies. Or he should not be disloyal. So these are the bad side of the 4 Varnashrama category. Correct now. Which should be curbed. So Lord Krishna says in the 11th canto, Swabhavam Vijayam Shauryam. He says, one who conquers his lower nature, he is the real hero, he says. So in our swabhava, there is a bad side, like an apple, there may be a black spot. And you are wondering whether to eat or not. But if you take a knife and cut it, and see, it's not very deep. Only superficially it is blackish. So you cut it and throw it. Then the rest of the apple can be eaten. Similarly, in our swabhava, certain portions should be cut and thrown away. The lower nature. whoever we be, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. But we should never align with the lower nature and justify it to be our swabhava. And which is what most living entities try to do. They say, this is what I am. Or they say, don't suppress your psychophysical nature, you just give vent to it because you are feeling a need for it. Actually, the lower natures have to be subdued. One example I'll tell you. In the Panchatantra, there's a story. Once upon a time, a rat came out of a hole in the forest. A sage saw the rat. And the rat was hungry, running here and there. So he felt pity for the rat and said, don't worry. He gave some food and transformed the rat into a beautiful young girl. He said, now I didn't have any daughter. Me and my wife wanted to have a daughter. So I will have you as my daughter. So he had the rat as a daughter. Now the rat became a beautiful young girl. So he took her home and told the wife, see, now henceforth we can raise this child, little girl, as our daughter, because you always had a desire to have a child. So his wife raised the child. Now she grew to a marriageable age. And now he had to find a suitable spouse for her. So then the father said, let me get the best husband for you in the entire creation. So he went to the son and asked, can he marry my daughter? So the son saw and said, we are a great saintly person. To have the daughter of a saintly person as a wife would be so great fortune for me. I am ready, he said. But then the daughter said, no. This fellow is too hot. He seems to be very hot tempered. His heat that is emanating is too much. I don't want to marry someone like this. Then the sage said, then who else can I go to? Then the son gave a suggestion. He said, okay, if she doesn't like me, you can take her to somebody more cool-headed, somewhat like a cloud. She can go and marry a cloud. So then the sage took her to the clouds. Then the girl looked at the clouds and said, oh, this fellow is so dark. He's so wet, so moist, and so chill. I don't like to marry someone like this. Then the cloud said, I'm sorry, if I'm not very fit, I will suggest you another person. He told the sage. He said, you can give your daughter in marriage to the winds, because the winds are the one which blow northeast monsoon, southwest monsoon and all, correct, no? The monsoons. So they are very powerful. They take me from one end of the country to another end. So maybe your daughter wants somebody more powerful than me. Then the sage took her to the winds. When she saw the wind, she said, "Arey, this fellow doesn't remain in one place. He keeps moving here, moving there. Sometimes working in London, sometimes in Australia, sometimes in Canada. He keeps moving around the world. Nowadays many fellows are moving like that, correct, no? In jobs." So she was telling the same thing. This fellow doesn't remain in one place. How can a woman live with a husband who doesn't stay in one place? And I can't run with him like this. I don't want, she said. Then the wind said, sorry sir, if she doesn't like me, I can give you a suggestion. Although I'm very mighty, no one can stop me. But there is one person who can stop me, which is this huge mountain ranges. When I hit the mountain range, I am finished. I have no power. Because the mountain is very strong. And he is achala. He is in one place. Maybe your daughter will like a person who is not having a moving job. He has job only in one place. This mountain doesn't move at all. Then the father took the daughter to the mountain. When she looked at the mountain and said, what is this? This fellow should look so rocky, so stiff, so brittle. I don't want hard-hearted people like this. Somebody like this. Then the father said, what to do now? I have seen some of the biggest and best fellows for my daughter. Then the mountain said, sorry, sir, if she doesn't like, I will tell you somebody even better than me. Although I am a great mountain, one fellow has made a hole in me and living inside is a rat. So you can check with him because he can make hole even in my body also. Okay, then he called for the rat. When the rat came out, this girl immediately liked the rat very much. Wonderful! This is the fellow I like the most. Why? Because that was her swabhav, old. Then the sage said, Arey, I tried to make you a girl of a sage and gave you big husbands. At last you have come back to your swabhava. Again you become a rat. He told her to become a rat and the she-rat married the he-rat and they lived happily inside the hole of the mountain. But why I told you this story, I will tell you. The moral is most important. Otherwise, isn't it? See, The moral is this: if we don't take to spiritual life, our material swabhava will attack us. You will see sometimes people, where they started, they will come back to square A. Like all of us, before we became devotees, we had certain tastes which are technically called gramya buddhi. Gramya buddhi means material taste. You agree? We had some material taste before. We might have liked the sambar smell in a nice hotel. You might have liked some movies. You might have liked the parties. But if we, after coming to Krishna consciousness, if we don't work against the lower nature by taking to the chanting process, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. But if you don't take to this process very strongly and reading the shastras, staying in the company of devotees, if you don't do that, then our old lower natures will come back again. And we may be thinking, you know, according to my psychophysical nature, I think this is more suitable for me. Yeah, it's actually a wrong estimation. Because it is a dirty side of our psychophysical nature which is supposed to be cleansed, not supposed to be attended to. It is not supposed to be answered. That portion has to be cleansed. The higher nature is actually attained by watching the spiritual master. One should see one's spiritual master as a servant of Srimati Radharani, as a servant of his previous acharyas. And one should actually elevate one's mind to that position and try to make oneself stable in the spiritual swabhava. In the spiritual swabhava is achieved in the swarupa stage, swarupa siddhi, where actually, you know, for that we are all sadhakas. A sadhaka will become a siddha. A seeker will become a seer as the time progresses, gradually. But we have to persist on the higher platform, which is actually likely to be a little difficult for us in our conditioned stage. For example, you may be liking to eat pakoda, samosa, you know, bhaji, everything when you have typhoid. Just because you are liking, can you say, it's my swabhava to eat that regularly, I want to eat that? No, sir. One has to resist that tendency and say, for 21 days I cannot touch this. I will not eat it. And one should follow the patya. In the same manner, if one has a tendency to enjoy independently, actually we were enjoying independently before. Then we came to ISKCON. We met spiritual master. We took diksha. We read Prabhupada books. Slowly, slowly that enjoying mentality was solidly smashed by the Guru Parampara's mercy. And we became better and better. Now if somebody goes back to that enjoying mentality, back to square A, blaming the swabhava, that is not acceptable. Rather, one should actually elevate one's consciousness. Therefore, Prabhupada wrote the book, Elevation in Krishna Consciousness. We are supposed to elevate our consciousness and give up that false enjoyer role. And that is only possible, as Prabhupada says here, the material elements as well as the living entity and the super soul are thus systematically analyzed to demonstrate to the conditioned soul his actual constitutional position beyond the material nature. You see, all these truths can only be revealed when we get the dust particle from Krishna's lotus feet. Now, where is that available dust from Krishna's lotus feet? There is a beautiful verse in the Bhagavatam, Prithu Maharaj speaks. Savuttama shloka mahan mukachyuto bhavat padam bhoja sudha kanani laha smritim punar vismrita tatpa vartmanam kuyoginam no vidaratyalam varehi. He is telling, when the pure devotees of the Lord speak, the honey mixed with the saffron dust particles from Lord's lotus feet emanates from their mouth, he says. Because in their heart they are carrying a kumbha filled with that honey from Lord's lotus feet. Now what is that honey? What is that saffron particles? Let us explain. The Pada Raja of the Supreme Lord is very much glorified. The dust of the Lord's lotus feet. You see, Ahilya was a stone. Lord touched that stone and she immediately came out of the stone as Ahilya, isn't it? And it is the same lotus feet of the Lord from which the Ganga is emanating. It is the same dust from that Lord's feet which the Nagapatnis are glorifying. Kasyanu bhavosya na deva vidmahe tavangrirenu sparashadhikara yadvanchaya shri lalana charattapo vihaya kaman suchiram dhritavrataha. Even Lakshmi is aspiring for the dust of your lotus feet, my Lord. They are saying, the Nagapatnis are saying. The gopis are also saying, pranata dehinam, papa karshanam. One who surrendered to your lotus feet, that sinful reactions are all eradicated. Similarly, in the Bhagavatam, there is explanation given of tribal women who saw Krishna, Balaram and covered boys walking in the forest of Vraj, taking the cows and calves. So after Krishna, Balaram, all of them went away, these tribal women went to the place and they saw the dry leaves on which Krishna's lotus feet were placed. Kumkum, Krishna's lotus feet had fallen. So they took it and applied it on their heads and their hearts. And they became completely free from all the lower tendencies, lower natures. So what is this dust and how do we get it? The dust of Krishna's lotus feet means all the qualities of the Lord. Another time when I come, I will probably focus on that. Because I stuck to this purport today, I couldn't speak on that. See, the Lord has qualities like apat bandhavata, anadarakshakata, dinabandhuta, bhaktavatsalyata, brahmanyata, karunyata, like that many qualities are there in the Lord. Jadabharata was anath, but Lord protected him, anatha rakshakata. And apat bandhavata means the Pandavas, the Parikshit, Draupadi, they were all in apat, danger, but Lord Krishna protected them in all dangers. Dina bandhuta means like our Sudama Brahmana was Deen, but Lord became his bandhu, became his friend and made him greatly rich. Similarly, the Lord is called Bhakta Vatsalyata. You see, Bhishma Pitama called him as a Bhakta Vatsala Govinda. Because he saw that he is the protector of the Pandavas and Arjuna especially, including Bhishma also. So he was called as a Bhakta Vatsala, as Partha Sarathi. So in this way, Brahmanyata means he is a worshipper of the Brahmana devotees. Just like Sudama's feet was washed by Krishna. And all the sages coming to the Rasu Yajna, their feet was washed by Krishna. That's Brahmanyata. Sharanyata. Sharanyata means anybody who goes to take shelter of him, he will never discard them. He will never leave them. No matter who it be. Even a Rakshasa like Vibhishan, or Vanaras like Sugriva, or like Nishada, or outcast like Guha, or anybody. This is called Saushilyata. And for that matter, Krishna, he makes friendship with even people more than Lord Rama also. He makes friendship with peacocks. He makes friendship with cows and calves and deers, birds. Everybody is his friend for Krishna. And he speaks to them in their language. One of the 64 qualities of Krishna is called Vibhuda Adbhuta Bhashavit. Vibhuda Adbhuta Bhashavit. Which means he can talk the Vrajabhasi language to Vrajabhasis. Vrajabhasha to Vrajabhasis. To Devatas he will speak in Sanskrit. To the birds he will speak in bird language. Because when the birds in Vrindavan will coo, Krishna would make a sound behind them, giving answer to them in their language. And the animals would speak to Krishna in their language and Krishna would speak back to them in animal language. And to tribals, he spoke in tribal language. So there is no language he doesn't know. He is the source of all languages. So, one should study the qualities of the Supreme Lord and fall in love with him, become attracted to him. And that is available when one hears the Krishna Katha from the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is dripping from the Lord's lotus feet, the honey mixed with the saffron particles. And that is coming from the mouths of the devotees. And by hearing this, our swabhava, the impure aspect of our swabhava will be cleansed. And then we can dovetail our swabhava in the Lord's service. Sve sve karmani abhirataha sam siddhim labate naraha sva karma nirataha siddhim yata avindati tatshano yataha pravrittir bhutanam yena sarvamidam tatam sva karmanatam abhyarcha siddhim vindati manavaha. He's saying that Sveswe karmani abhirataha. Then you can engage your proper swabhava, which is in the psychophysical body, in Krishna's service, whatever you be. You are a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Engage it in Lord's service. Lord is saying that. So, in this way, the independent enjoying mentality has to be curbed. And the service mentality has to be increased. And by rendering service in our constitutional position as a tiny servant of the Lord, remembering that role, we can do that. So I am going to give you some call for action. 5 R's of association. 5 R's. The first R is the right source. Hear from the right source. Don't read any book unless you have at least thoroughly read Prabhupada's Gita, Bhagavatam and Chaitanya-charitamrita. Nowadays, we are living in an age of information explosion. If you are a little careless, lot of other information will go into your system and douse your enthusiasm. It will throw cold water in your enthusiasm. In order to protect your fiery spirit in Krishna consciousness, you know, make Prabhupada's lectures and Prabhupada's books your foremost source of right information. Right source. Second, right attitude in approaching the Guru Parampara. You know, Tadbuddhi Pranipatena Pariprasnena Sevaya. So Pranipat, Pariprasna, Seva. Let's do these three things, which is right attitude in approaching. And third R is rapt attention. We are living in an age of distraction. I heard Gauranga Prabhu gave a lecture on distraction in previous prayer. So how to have concentration in the age of distraction? So with rapt attention we should hear Nivishtastat Anugrahat. Sata Goswami says that. So he says that I was also present. Aham chad gamam tatra Nivishtastat Anugrahat. There in the purport, Prabhupada writes, anybody who hears Bhagavatam with rapt attention, they will get purified very fast. And fourth R is rules and regulations given by Rupa Goswami, 64 principles, beginning with Adav Guru Padashray, Sadharma Pricha, Vishambena Guru Seva, Sadhu Vartman Vartanam, Krishna Dikshadi Shikshanam, all of that. 64 principles, rules and regulations. And the last R is royal path back to Godhead. How do we go for the royal path back to Godhead? There is one verse in the Dhruva's Going Back to Godhead chapter. There is one verse, very beautiful verse. You know that verse, anybody knows? Sarva Bhutanu Ranjanaha Yantyanjasa Achyuta Padam Achyuta Priya Bandavaha. How does it begin? It's a very beautiful verse. That verse talks about how a devotee should make thick friendships with other devotees, but they should act in a way pleasing to the non-devotees, other people. Which means, if you want to please non-devotees, give them prasadam first. Give them some nice Hare Krishna kirtan. Give them Prabhupada books. And they will be very happy with you. Just please them, but don't associate with them. Associate with devotees. That verse says, Achyuta Priya Bandavaha. You should become Bandava of whom? Achyuta Priya. Achyuta Priya means, with devotees we should make thick friendship. With those who are non-devotees, sending out a lot of non-devotional vibrations, we cannot make thick friendship with them because they will pollute us with wrong information. So that verse is that one can easily go back to Godhead if one makes thick friendships with the devotees. And one is shantaha, one is nirvaira, one is free from envy, one is peaceful, and one is focused in the lotus feet of Krishna. So in this way, the right source, right attitude, rapt attention, rules and regulations, and royal path back to Godhead. So you can check that verse. It is Achyuta Priya Bandavaha. Another word is Sarva Bhutanu Ranjanaha. Very beautiful verse. So Shanta, is right with Shanta? All of you can repeat that verse. Shanta Samadrisha Shuddhaha Sarva Bhutanu Ranjanaha Yantyanjasa Achyutapadam Achyuta Priyabandavaha. They are Shantaha, they are peacefully satisfied in Krishna consciousness. They don't stick their neck out of the window looking for something new. They are satisfied in Krishna consciousness. Shantaha. Samadrisha, which means Pandita Samadarshinaha. Shuddhaha, their goal is also pure goal, Shuddha Bhakti. Sarva Bhutanu Ranjanaha, they are always friendly with all living beings. Yanti, they will go back, where? Achyuta Padam, back to Godhead. Achyuta Priya Bandavaha, they make thick friendships with the devotees of the Lord. So that they can remain in pure consciousness and not act as a false enjoyer or an independent enjoyer. They can act as a servant of the Lord always in our consciousness. So therefore we are going for Yatra, Kartik Yatra and all for 10 days, 12 days. Why? Because we have to associate with great souls like the spiritual master, and we have to hear the katha for a prolonged period of time, associate with other devotees. We have to constantly watch that we don't get carried by the current of Maya in this world, especially in our consciousness. Because if our consciousness is polluted, then everything, all our direction gets, like energy flows where intent goes. So let our energy flow in Krishna's direction towards lotus feet of Krishna, and that we can do very carefully by surrounding ourselves or fencing ourselves with all Krishna's devotees. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Nirantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Thank you very much. Thank you.